Test, test.
What's up, everyone?
What's up? Are you asking us or the live viewers?
I was asking a question before. I wanted answered in while we're recording. Ralph, how do you route your mic and your computer? Do you work from a sound card or do you plug it straight into your computer? How do you work? Because I'm curious.
The mic is a USB mic straight into the computer. I have the Apollo Twin. I don't even think you can put a mic in there.
Apollo Twin, because that's we are always wondering why you always drop out every now and then. Is that the Apollo software or
it's connection, I guess?
Yeah, you know, I couldn't get the stupid thing to work right away again, but I'm not sure if it's the cable or something.
You can plug a mic in the Apollo Twin. In the back, no?
He's looking.
Yeah.
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 Is it gone?
XLR.
XLR. By the way, guys, could you share the live stream?
We're live. That's what Joey meant.
Yeah, we're live on YouTube and we're live on Instagram.
Hello, YouTube.
Hello, YouTube. Sounds so old, huh?
Yeah. Especially if you know Ronald Jenkins. Jenkins, something like that.
How do you share? We're such a boomer. How do you share a live stream on Instagram? How?
Like you don't?
How?
No, can't you share a live stream?
I see. Oh, wow. This is real. This is Inception, man.
Yeah.
It's only
you mean?
Yeah, I don't know how it works. As in, I don't know.
Let's see when my thumb comes up. How much?
Because we're with the three of us, right? So I'm not sure how the software decides.
Look at
on
yourself,
who...
Jay.
Look
maybe
at yourself.
Maybe if you speak.
No, because it's until now it's only you. So I'm not sure if that changes. But take your moment. This is your moment, Jay. This is your moment.
My new track is out now. On my way on Spotify. Go stream it.
You can copy the link.
How can you copy the link?
With the three dots in the top.
And then how you share it?
You just post a cool picture of yourselves with a mic.
Maybe we should call this podcast Three Boomers Try to Figure Out How They Can Do a Podcast, How They Can Record with a Mic.
I think I mentioned that last time that a better name for the podcast was like Boomer DJs.
Boomer DJs. Yeah, it would suit. I think it was funny.
For yourself, hey, I'm just coping, dude.
I made a post on Instagram with like to promote my new track, and I was like, I just had this stupid idea, so I made it. And I was going over to James, who's next door here. I was like, is this like too boomer? Is this too like that you can see I'm old, of an old person trying
to you can see
make a
old
social media post? And then Joey with artist coaching comments boomer. Which I thought was really funny because that's exactly.
Hey everybody, we're live right now. It's Joey and Jopke and me. And you can join us in our really interesting conversations. Ciao.
Exactly.
We will see. It's always a question how interesting our conversation is. Although I must say, I receive weekly messages from people.
From your
telling
mother.
That they really enjoy the podcast and the live stream of last week as well.
I do think
that's cool.
There isn't many EDM dance music scene podcasts. So I think if we like get a bit more
traction
subjects, I think we need a bit more subjects. Maybe there is just not that much going on. I'm not sure, but I think if that like picks up, we could really be the pioneers of EDM podcasts.
Bullshit radio.
To be honest,
I mean, all the preparation that goes in it. I mean, we're talking about subjects we can talk about. I mean, we're talking about... No, we're just putting the mic on and go with it. So can't
which
really blame people not sharing it.
It's also good because I think you can hear, because one time I wasn't there and then I listened back to you two. And it was really like fun because you can hear you guys having fun. It's an actual conversation.
Yeah.
That really works,
thumbs
I
up.
Think.
That's the feedback I get the most. Like, what people like is that it's just a genuine conversation, no preparation, like, just, no. And especially with a live stream, like, people can send in questions during the live stream, and we just pick it up whenever we want. I think that's it's a nice concept, you know?
The charm of it.
It's the charm of it is that there's no schedule.
Yeah, I don't think like to be called a boomer, though. I have to say, you guys are really boomers, but... Man, everything is set here.
I think we're officially millennials, but
I don't know. Like, when are you a boomer?
Hey, yeah, must I'm be like full on
baby boomer
Gen
after
Z.
The war. So like from the '50s or something, '50s, '60s.
Fifties.
Ralph's almost a boomer.
if you're born in the '50s or sixties, no. If you're born in the '50s or sixties, I think you're a boomer.
Or in the '50s,
like
60s.
After the war, you know,
baby boomer. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. True.
I can remember the war.
They shot off his glasses and he's been wearing them since to
exactly
to show,
still broken.
You know, yeah. Hey, for the ones who missed it, it's like the new design. If you lay in bed and you're on your pillow and then it's not nice to have glasses on, but
you're
these glasses, it's all good.
It's
hey,
all
by the way,
good.
I'm not on my 5G. That's going to be tricky.
That's going to be a problem. In 5, 4, 3.
I'll turn on the 5G.
Okay. No, then it quits.
Oh, man. Stupid
just keep it like this. Yeah.
Riverside.
Anyway, guys, to everyone who is joining in to the live stream on YouTube or Instagram, welcome. If this is new for you, we are doing a weekly podcast episode with Ralph from Bassjackers and Jobke from J Hardway. Huh?
From J Hardway.
Yeah, from J Hardway.
Why do you call me Ralph, by the way? My name actually is Ralph.
Bass.
Yeah, but in English,
his name is Bass.
Yeah, but why should you? I mean, why should you name somebody? It's Ralph. Just call me. Together with Ralph from Bassjackers.
Ralph.
I think your name is Bass and the other guy's name is Jackers. And that's why when you
my
came together,
my son's name
like,
is Jack. So
is that connected? Like, is that why he's named Jack?
You know, to be honest, no. But I always when I was playing when I was young, I mean last year or so, and I did like we were like playing army dudes or whatever. And I always thought like Jack was a cool name. It's like,
Hey, yo, Captain Jack.
I mean, he's a cool guy. But it's like this tough name, Jack. Sounds cool. And then I was getting a son at the shop. Sounds like that, but no. We were in expectance of a son. And then I was like, let's name him Jack. Because it's a cool name.
There's a guy, Ivanson, in the chat on Instagram who says, my son is named Bass.
Whoa. Wow. That's pretty cool. A
cool.
Boss or Bass?
No, I think it's Bass, double S. And I think he was in my live stream yesterday.
He
I
won
think,
at
I
the son naming game.
Streaming, I don't know. Anyway, to everyone who's new at this podcast, we're doing this every week for already 3 months, roughly 3 months longer, but weekly since 3 months. And if you want to join the conversation or have any questions, you can leave it in the chat or you can join our Discord, which is in the profile on Instagram.
We like you to send in questions.
Yeah.
Because we actually don't have any clue what to talk about.
What to talk about? Other than I had a frustration the other day.
Oh, yeah. Well, tell us about your frustration.
I told Joey already I have a frustration. I need to air it out. So this is the thing. When you just start making music, you download some software, maybe illegally, you know, and you mess around until you find out, hey, this is actually pretty cool and I can do something with it. So you buy it, you know. Now that I buy all my plugins, I like every once in a while I run into problems with logging on to these verification things, and I work on a laptop and a desktop and I cannot move all the licenses over and all that kind of bullshit. I just want to, if I pay for something, I just want it to work. I don't want to go through all these jump through all these hoops to get a plugin working. And I thought that was really annoying when Native Instruments, yes, you guys, you're probably listening to this, you locked me out of my account.
Traces.
Probably automatic because I logged in too many times. But I mean, I have several passwords for several accounts, so I tried different passwords. So you can't literally blame me for logging in five times.
That's
and then I was
so annoying.
Out. And because I was logged in before and bought something, and then I tried to log in on my laptop again to install, I couldn't log in and I was blocked out. And I just spent like 500 euros or something on plugins that I then couldn't use. It's just that kind of stuff. It's like, come on, guys, don't.
Now, I got to say, Revix with Nexus, they got it right with the, I don't know how it's called. Huh?
Their cloud service.
Yeah, it's insane. It's really good. I love it. It's plug and play. Native Instruments can be a hassle, true.
Yep. Waves are really like trying to trick you a lot of times, and they have a really weird system. Waves has a subscription system.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pay like 300, 400 a year for the whole bundle, something like that, which is amazing because then you can try out their whole bundle and see.
Yeah, I really like Waves.
I'm only going to get those. But what happens now is like I like owning my plugins that I use. So I want to buy a one-time license. And then they say after a year, you don't get updates anymore. That's one where I'm like, that's just sad. And also, if you do update the whole subscription bundle, Fruity Loops, maybe this is a FL Studio problem, then doesn't recognize that Wave Shell plugin. And mm-hmm. some projects don't load. So you have to reload all your plug. It's like such a hassle. It's like, come on, guys. As producers, if we pay for stuff, don't make it that difficult. Because
to be honest, that's why for some plugins that I actually bought, I still use the cracked
version. Cracked version, exactly.
Yeah.
Really? That's what's going to happen.
Because of the old files. Yeah.
Yeah.
But okay, so what changed in there? Because when I left with producing, let's say 10 years ago, few of those companies went through the cloud, as in they started mm-hmm. using those cloud services. But to me, it sounds pretty easy, right? Like you just, let's say you get a new laptop, you download the software, so the plugin itself, and you have to get access to it through a license key. That's the only thing you need, right? Which is just
don't
a simple
get me
plug.
Started on all the software shit, man. Why don't your old projects just open up?
Yep.
And don't even try to relocate some of your sample folders because you'll be fucked. Yeah. And
I think what Ralph said is true. Like Nexus really changed that because I have a new laptop. So I want my laptop basically to be a copy of my desktop because I want to work on both.
Oh, I would pay good money for
and
it
like,
when it would be a button. Copy.
Nexus
exactly.
is like you download the software and it's like, hey, you want whole your Nexus installed, including all your packs that you had? Yes. And then you do it, and it takes a little while. It takes maybe 10 minutes, but it's all installed. Or 10, 15 minutes, I don't know. It's all installed. Every project, Nexus always opens without any question, without any hassle. There's no delay.
It does take up a lot of your hard drive, Nexus.
True, yeah.
Yeah, but Nexus is sample-based, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
But also shit like Omnisphere, and I think the whole contact libraries are pretty much all wave based. But contact, man, sometimes I don't even use it
native
anymore.
Native instruments. And that's exactly that with all those libraries and where you can put libraries, and some of them do integrate very well with contact. So that works, so it's loads and all the visuals are loaded, but then sometimes other packs don't, so you have to put them in a folder. It's just, come on.
It's also kind of weird. It really influences your workflow because I tend to grab earlier to plugins that just work properly.
Yeah.
I also got to say FL Studio is not always the kindest when you fuck it up a little bit because I have all these 64 32-bit all going through each other, and I sometimes just want to clean it up, but it doesn't let you, and then your whole plugin folder can be kind of a jungle. although I gotta say you do it so much that you get easily adjusted.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could be somewhere a little bit more user-friendly. I do gotta say, most of the plugins, it used to be really harder that you had to go into your BIOS, open up all these kind of, let's call it ports, but that's more a router thing. But and then you could use them. But yeah. Nowadays, it's a lot easier.
I think companies like Nexus just get it right, and a lot of other companies need to work on their programming of other software. What I do notice, I have this like sample collection, which you can open in Fruity Loops very easily on the left, which I always was very, that was like to me kind of like holy, and that was like, I always need that because it has my these spice samples and these specs. And what I realize now, we live in this amazing era where on Splice and on the Fruity Loops cloud, there's so many amazing samples that sometimes I'm like, hey, I want to have that kind of kick. And I'm just like going into Splice, I find something that comes close or something that works. And I tend to not use like a lot of my old samples anymore. And just like every track kind of decide, hey, I want to make this kind of kick. And have a few favorites in Splice, and that's always, of course, on the cloud right away. So that's kind of what I like. But that's also my workflow just changed there.
It really changes your workflow. But I got to say, I always revisit my folders. Sometimes I also take the time to cut up all my tracks and make samples out of them. Because those sometimes are really like giving you that characteristic, in my case, bass checker sound. In your case, it would be Jay Hardway sound, obviously.
Yeah.
And sometimes stuff like Splice, kind of, you go into this rabbit hole and you got to be wary of that you go into deep.
I think to explain it, I do like to use the same kick a lot of times. And like
you
the
should
same
change
kick,
it.
Kick and bass. And if I have a good one, or if I find a new good one, I've been in a little bit of a discovery mode producer wise, which is very fun. But if I now find a good one, then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna, like you do, save that kick and then with that bass in a folder. Yeah. And I know like, oh, I need for that kind of track, I can use that because that really works. But then it needs to have also proved itself like on a dance floor, because that's where you want your track to pop. So
Having like a self-made preset pack, let's say, really helps in production flow as well, because you don't have to think about like, oh, which kick do I use to bang out the idea of your head.
Yeah.
You just pick the kicks that have already proven themselves, that you know fit your sound. It really helps to improve the speed of your workflow.
To get the idea going.
And then you can still change it afterwards, but at least you have an idea, a rough idea of how it's going to sound.
I think I never stayed with the first kick I've chosen.
No,
it always changes. Yeah, because then you put in sounds and you can hear, okay, I missed this kind of characteristic, and then you keep on searching, then you go into layering, and then it just becomes a big mess that nobody understands anymore.
I was in away for a week on tour 2 weeks ago, and I had my new laptop with me. The speakers are pretty nice. I was like, hey, I'm going to just produce something on the speakers. And that works really well for getting an idea out there, because you're like not so much focused on it needs to sound like this because it's on a laptop speaker.
But then you were playing it in a club and you were going like...
Well, but then I come back to my studio and I'm like, holy shit, this mix is such a mess. So it has two things, because yes, I have a good idea, but for me to bring that idea into a like good mix, it's really difficult to like, because you basically need to start with the kick and the bass all the way at the beginning, which is then quite difficult in a project like that. But it does help just creating ideas. And then who knows, I might send that to someone for a collab. Maybe Ralph can explain how I can send you demos. We explain this about every week.
like a regular topic, like every week. Yeah. Like,
but how to if I don't like demo. It, I don't respond. So
yeah, exactly. Hey guys, I have a topic which I wanted to talk about, and I forgot about it, but now I remember.
Nice.
I received an email from a client of mine who forwarded an email letter from Rob Abelo. I'm not sure if anyone knows him, but he sends out emails about the music industry. And he came out with some interesting statistics, which I wanted to talk about with you. He dived into the music industry and found out that the streaming subscriber growth is really declining since 2019 and rapidly. So there's not many new people coming into the streaming world. And streaming revenue.
The growth declines or?
Growth. Yeah. Okay. The growth went from 28% in 2019 to 5.7% last year.
Okay.
And at the same time, the global streaming revenue growth are also down from 21% to 10%.
So there's less growth.
There's less, less growth. It's a lot less growth.
It's still growth.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
With TH on the end, which makes you pronounce it like growth.
Does that mean that we've kind of hit mass adoption and that the whole world is streaming, like all the people are on board at this point?
I think we're approaching some kind of a line. I'm actually surprised that I can hear like 10% and 6% growth still. Streaming kind of game already went big in 2015 or so.
Yeah.
And then it just
almost
started,
10 years further. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not so surprised.
So now comes the interesting statistic, which is that physical music, so vinyl and CDs, have grown faster than streaming in the past year.
Yeah, but it also got really, really little. Yeah.
So if you look at...
But that was like vinyl sales were probably nothing. And then if you sell basically two vinyl records, it's a growth of 2,200%.
I wonder how they measure it.
I follow Jobke there as well. I mean, if physical sales are such at a low, mm-hmm. it's easier to double than, or triple even.
True.
Then when it would be a big, big market. To be honest, I couldn't see the need for it. It's kind of a niche. I like it. It's cool. Still, it's sometimes cool to have physical stuff. But yeah, music consumption, it actually changes really a lot. I mean, I think more of the music is being consumed at socials like Insta and TikTok.
Yeah.
Swiping. I mean, I know tracks through swiping, and then sometimes I look them up on Spotify and be like, how can this have not so many streams? And
then you contact like, hey, collab, bro.
This is actually funny because I also discover music through like TikTok and stuff. There's this one song that always plays under like, oh, remember this stuff from the 90s? That's when we were young, you know? But it's like, it has this really cool nostalgic feel, I think, because it reminds me of those like key generator music from the 90s you used. But anyways, I told my girlfriend, generator, like, hey, look at this song. It sounds really nostalgic, right? Doesn't it? And she's like, well, to me, it just sounds like you on TikTok. This is what reminds me of you scrolling TikTok. And every once in a while, that sounds
like a trigger.
We now all know your algorithm.
Exactly.
And, Aquatic Ambience is it called, I think. You should really check it out. It's really cool. I think I'm not sure if we can use it on the podcast, but because then it will be.
No, but I gotta say, the 90s are all the rage right now.
Aquatic Ambience by Skizzy.
90s are like the rage at this point, right? Everything's getting bootlegged.
Hey, I also I like this
David
Guetta
again, huh?
But by Artemas.
Artemas?
Yeah, Artemas. I'm not sure if I pronounced it right.
And which track?
I like the way you kiss me. I can tell you miss me. I can tell it hits. It's a hit.
Is it radio or?
Yeah, it's a cool track. Kind of also old school vibes. And they really did a cool job. I think it will be a big hit. It's already high up in the charts on Spotify.
Mm. I'll check it out.
Get it again with One Direction.
Which one?
And they use like...
Ozone.
Dragostea.
Oh yeah, I've heard that one.
Yeah.
To me, that was another moment, like another one.
Yeah,
another one.
And it's gonna be a hit, and you're gonna sing it along. But it's David Guetta doesn't need that, I think. But
you know, we already also had a version of it. Sometimes kind of frustrating. We have a lot of versions and a lot of covers.
I think your problem mostly is you're too early. You're
no,
such
no,
early
I'm not
adapter.
Early enough. Early It's frustrating when you see somebody pooping out a track that you're just worked on. Yeah. And but I gotta say, it also makes you kind of. I don't really go into my productions too deep unless I know they're going to be released. Then I'm going into depth. And
but what's that story behind the Dragostanite?
So it was a hit and now...
Your version, like when or why did you start it?
Started it maybe January.
Okay, so because you thought like this is a track
that
hadn't been done
yet. Yeah, like the melody. And but Wern didn't do a cheesy cover version. I actually liked it. I liked Ryan Tedder. He's one of the best songwriters there is. So
did you write that one?
Yeah, it's One Direction. So
no, but I meant like the original one.
No! I don't even know who wrote it. I always thought it was these like. From the Eastern Europe kind of thing.
Wasn't it also like a Eurovision Song Festival song?
Could be. I actually don't know, but I really like the melody.
It was one of those hits that just went viral before viral was even a thing.
Exactly. What that was the...
invented viral.
That's
it. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's a catchy one.
Oh, actually, to be honest, we did the cheesy cover vocal. Yeah, we did it in the break. We arranged it more like dance, but yeah.
I wonder how you can make a remake of that song without making it cheesy.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's always cheesy, but cheesy is good sometimes, huh?
True.
But it's true. We had a verse and we had... it's actually an interesting song. It has kind of two chorus lines. It's that's kind of chorus, but Maya, he, Maya, ho. I didn't.
Sounds good, man.
Drink for kind of a while.
No need for autotune.
It's also kind of a chorus line. Mm-hmm. Let's call it after chorus. I don't know, but it's an interesting song.
It's like how Max Martin always says: you have to how you write songs or how you can do it. Write a chorus that is very catchy, and then say, okay, that's the first verse. Then you write another chorus for that one, so it becomes even catchier, and then you make that the pre-chorus, and then. It's kind
that's
of
cool.
It's kind of a cool way to think that if you write something very catchy and think, oh, this should be the chorus, then trick your mind and be like, hey, maybe we can make even a cooler chorus, which is then seems impossible, but if you just try it, you might.
True.
Good tip.
And it's funny because that's also how I know Martin Garrix works. I remember having like two tracks. This is like 12 or something, like early. And I had like two tracks and both had like a really good melody. So I was like, yeah, we should use this in one of our tracks. We were producing a lot together at the time. And he's like, well, what if we make that one the first break and the other one the second break? And I was like, no, but it's two tracks, man. I don't want to like, he's like, no, just put it whatever, all the good stuff we have right now. We put it in that one track and it became amazing. And also, because he kind of trusts that then you come up with something cool for another track again, which is very important, because sometimes you think this is a good idea. I need to save it or something. No, just put it out there. You'll come up with something new the next day or something.
Kind of the mindset,
cool story, bro.
It's the mindset of a lot of people who make it in a lot of ways, as in don't take the first thing as a yes, or I would say like don't take everything as a yes, like take it a few steps further, whereas continue where everyone stops. That's probably the thing I want to say.
Yeah, very clear.
Yeah.
Another thing that I saw from that statistics was also interesting, which I really agree on, but I think it's interesting that he also mentioned it, which was knowing your fans is a superpower.
Think so, yeah.
And that the direct fan relationships are the new gold. And I think that's the thing that I really trust for the upcoming few years, is that as an artist, you should be really focusing on the connection with your fan base. Like the relationship with your fan base is the focus point for every artist. It's not about those millions of followers anymore. It's more about having 10,000 super deep super fans. I think that's more important, and servicing them instead of servicing the 1 million TikTok views.
I think that's, yeah, you're right. I think that's definitely going to be huge. Although it takes longer to like become successful. It is way more satisfying, I think, if you have something like that. I remember doing a lot of Twitch live streams.
Yeah,
and there's still guys from that Twitch live streams that would always join that are now still every track they respond. I see all of you guys. So, but like that's, they're really like almost fans for life because we connected like directly.
This you shared a moment together.
Yeah. And that's, but it's, that is difficult because, with some things you just get so big that it's, you can't have that direct connection with all your fans anymore.
No, not so all your fans, but there's, it's more like at least try.
Yeah.
That, I think that's the start, you know, at least you try to stay in touch with your fan base through Discord, through DMs, like just keep responding to a few people that you see often. Because I think that for every artist, it's the same. There are always a few names that you see come by every now and then, you know, like you just recognize the usernames at a certain point. I still remember from back in the days, like when I started touring, that people had to mention their username to me. Like if they say like, oh, I'm that guy, you know, from socials, I'm this cool, and that, man. I'm like,
they are,
oh, yeah, I know that name, I don't know who you are, but I know the name, you know. Like that's funny.
Actually, that's what I miss a lot of times with these, this like new social media way of connecting, because that's the thing, what I had with Twitch. People have a weird username there, so you know, like, oh, you're that guy from Twitch. Oh. You're that on Twitch. Actually, that's really funny. And I
there are some that names that now come to pass every now and then. And to be honest, I never forget them anymore. Like last week, we were mentioning Josh Le Tissier or something. Yeah. If he sends me a demo now, I will listen.
I know the name. He actually got signed to Revealed.
Imagine if his name was. Cool. Josh like likes cars 35 on Twitch, and then you're like, "Hey, Josh, I'm Josh." Okay, Josh likes cars 35. Oh yeah,
oh,
yeah.
That guy.
And that's what you have on Twitch, and you used to have that on a lot of forums, like the Laidback Luke forum or the Vato forum. Because I remember I was Attacker Jopke.
Attacker so Jopke.
People know me as Attacker Jopke because Attacker was my game name.
Attacker Jopke.
Oh man.
Attacker jongen. I'm an attacker. Mm. On the Medal of Honor Allied Assault.
And you were
now,
8.
Now I'm a real boomer.
Yeah, like my username on most gaming platforms has always been Joey Suki, but once I became a bit more famous, I started changing that into Sushi Lead.
That's cool.
My That's username cool. is Rollaap.
Yeah.
True Amazing. Story.
But maybe there's a nice tip for the listeners in here, you know? Like, if you want to stand out, have a name on socials that stand out and just start replying and send message. People will remember, you know? Yep. Like, it's how it works.
Yeah, but don't make it dirty.
Deadmau5 is the exact... That's actually his... like his,
he makes
his
music
online
too.
Name.
Who's Deadmau5?
But no, but like Deadmau5 with the 5...
That was Armin, right?
It was actually his gamer tag or like his online tag because he once found a dead mouse in his computer.
Yeah, really? That's
is
cool.
That, is that
yeah.
the story?
It's like that's it is a very memorable name. It's a cool story as well. But like So just use your name and change one of the,
you know,
letters for
me and Marlon were big time Deadmau5 fanboys. We went to Extrema here in Holland, and then we were like. And I don't even think most of the people knew him back then. And then when he had a
Early
track Deadpool. Called FML, and we were like, oh, if he plays that, we're going to go crazy, man. And then we were the only two ones jumping in the whole field, you know. We were like, okay.
And you guys stood there like the Dutch guys, like, oh.
No, I was jumping. Fuck it. Hey,
Extrema
beers,
Outdoor.
It's totally crazy.
I love Extrema Outdoor, but that crowd is really hard to get to move because they're having like the good old time that I think, is it in Brabant?
It's in Brabant.
Yeah, it's in Best,
it's
right?
It's very gezellig.
Yeah, but they don't do it like anymore, right? Extrema, it's not happening anymore. The only thing that happens there is,
it became a lot more smaller.
Lake dance is happening over there.
Yeah, lake dance is happening at Aqua Best, but Extrema is a lot more smaller because it got bought by another company, I believe, and they kind of trimmed it down to a smaller festival.
Whoa, they bought it to trim it down. That's new.
No, and I think refreshing. It was already trimmed down at that time.
Okay.
But it's not what it was. Like back in our days.
It's a brand. Sounds cool also.
Yeah,
Extrema.
Exactly. I think it's even a... Isn't it like a Belgium thing at this point?
I actually have no clue, man.
Anyways, I just think that...
Anywho.
There's something in there when you say like with the nicknames, with the usernames. It's... yeah. It just works, you know?
Yeah. Attack Jopke. Roll up, Attack Jopke, and Sushi Lead. Here we are. But I guess it's also because... I don't know about you guys, but I was gaming a lot when I was like 16. So it also...
Oh, man.
I still do. That.
And me too. I didn't make music anymore back then. It was like, the end of my career.
One of my friends, his name is Mark, and his gamertag was Merc. And he would call him like online. You would actually like on TeamSpeak and stuff, you would call him Merc. And then at home, you would just call him Mark again. But it's like, it was just very fun.
You know, I used to game a lot with my cousin, and his name is online name was Frico with PH because his real name is Philippe. And but then somebody came into the room and they were like, "Oh, you're a bit laggy, Praeco." And now I always call him Praeco.
Nice.
It's his new name.
It just sticks.
Yeah.
Do you guys know how my name ever got founded?
I think you just sucked at DJing.
No, Suki. So said,
oh, Suki.
Sucky.
Yeah.
I don't know, man.
I used to be a professional rock climber. I actually was the Dutch champion.
What? Whoop, whoop.
Yeah. As a little when I was 14 or something, 15, I was number one of the Netherlands. I actually been on the European championships as well.
Wow.
But a friend of mine built his own like climbing wall, and it's like some sort of culture within that group of people, you know, like some of them like graffiti as well. So we started putting graffiti on that wall of that friend saying like gravity sucks. That's what he asked me to write. Yeah. Graffiti.
Yeah.
Gravity is something else. Graffiti.
But rock climbers like gravity. That's just, it's probably true because otherwise there would be nothing.
Exactly. But he asked me to write graffiti sucks on the wall. But I couldn't do graffiti. I just didn't know how. So I tried my best and I focused so much on writing, like on creating beautiful letters that I took a step back once I was done and it says graffiti Suki instead of graffiti sucks. And a few weeks later, I had my first gig in a bar in the Netherlands, and they asked me like, "Which name should we put on a poster?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's just take Joey Suki," and it never left.
That kind of sticks.
That's,
I like it.
Cool.
Yeah, like looking back in hindsight, I'm pretty happy with it. Still am.
Yeah.
But that's how how it all started. Yeah. So it could be, just like with you, Ralph. With what was it, Praco?
Praeco.
Praeco, sometimes it just sticks, you know, and you just keep using it.
You know, a roll up, it was a thing. I was in school and I had to do like sweep the floors or something. I probably did something. And so I was on the list at the janitor, but somebody made a typing error and it didn't say Ralph, which is my real name, not Ralph. And but it said Ralop. And then somebody started laughing. Oh, Rolop, Rolop. But one of my friends, he didn't know that it was Rolop anymore. And then he made of it, he said, "Hey, roll up." And then everybody started laughing. And it sticked. It was, okay, I'm roll up now. Cool.
And
which means rolling monkey. Yeah.
Do they still call you like that every now and then? Or
yeah, some people do. Yeah, when I'm at the gym and I see some friends of way back and they go, hey, roll up.
Nice.
Okay, one
it's
more
like
thing I want to...
still call me Attack Rejopke, you know? It's like Attack so...
Rejopke, yeah.
You know, when I saw you for the first time, I thought, whoa, that guy is a real attacker.
Hey, exactly.
Rough boy.
I remember that. It was in Star Beach.
Oh, was that the first time you met each other?
No. I think this was maybe only with Marlon.
Yeah.
Marlon and Uppy.
But you were an attacker back then, I heard.
Actually, we had once had a gaming tournament in my high school.
Hide your daughters.
We had a gaming tournament in my high school. And I was named attacker, but we were playing Unreal Tournament, Capture the Flag. And I was defending our flag. Oh. And then one guy, I kept killing him. And he was screaming, you know, like land party on school. And he was screaming from the other side, attacker is a defender. Attacker is a defender. And he was so like frustrated because I kept like camping out at our own flag. It was really funny.
Dude, LAN parties were the best.
Oh, amazing.
Whoa,
amazing.
Those things don't happen anymore.
Kids these days will never know what that is.
Why
playing
would you?
Red Alert, playing
you haven't lived until
Red Alert,
you've lived through a LAN party with at least 20 people. Like in one house, everyone brought their computers, ships, and
I went on the bicycle with my big desktop like this. I'm coming.
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
We're old. So nice.
That was
okay,
fun.
Okay, so on that topic, one last point I wanted to mention, which he closed off in the email, which I thought was kind of nailed it.
We're still talking about the email. That's
I just saw a few things. I thought that's interesting to mention because I think it's happening at this point. And he also mentioned like the music industry is entering a new era. And I think that's true.
Give it to me.
Okay.
I think the normal from the last couple of years of how we are used to promote our music, to release our music, to talk to our fans, all those things are shifting. And I think it has to do with new technologies. It has to do with what we've learned from COVID. We as a society have changed a lot. I think a lot of things are changing and artists should adopt.
To what?
To the new status quo.
And what's the new status quo?
More interest in your relationships with your fans. So spend more time with your super fans and less time with bullshit people following you on TikTok. Release a lot of music. Try to avoid labels who don't add value. Do live streams. I think that that's also really important, like things like this.
Yeah, I do like it, but I gotta say, I like these kind of talks. I really like when people come in and have comments or jokes about my accent or whatever. And but I can also, when there's artists that don't like it and don't do it, that's fine by me as well. I think nowadays there's no real truth anymore. You can just be whoever you want to be.
Yeah, and I think that's the paradigm shift.
Yeah.
Because that hasn't always been...
Words.
It hasn't always been like
that.
Yeah,
I think so too. There was like a real... you could kind of tell also which DJs were really making their own music. And there's a lot of bullshit artists now that are... Not bullshit artists, but that artists that are bullshitting online and like talking about the scene.
Yeah, man.
But they have no idea what they're talking about. Or chat... ChatGPT made their tweets, or it's just like, and people don't see through it, which is so I think that's right.
I do think people see through it. I can't imagine them being so stupid.
It's becoming more difficult and it's there's some examples I won't name, but it's just always
I know
me,
what you're
like...
thinking about.
Me too.
Yeah, we all know.
Yeah.
Sorry, Tiesto, but your time has come.
This is it.
Now, I can say who I really like online, and that's James Hype. I adore
you do
the
like
guy.
Him?
Yeah, I really like him. Because...
What is it that you like mostly about him?
He's
online.
A craftsman. He really shows what he's doing. He has no secrets whatsoever. He talks to everybody like real genuine. I kind of add something that's not for me, comes naturally. But he also shows what he does. He tells everybody why he does it. And I also, I at some point, sometimes I said on my signed by, if people don't show it, they can't do it, because I like the craftsmanship. I like how he DJs, how he produces, and he just shows what he does and that he knows what he's doing. And he's really passionate about his craft, and that's making, presenting, playing music.
Yeah, I think what you mentioned right now, that's something that that is becoming more and more important, you know, the craftsmanship. I think we go back to the era where craftsmanship matters again.
Yeah, but people are fooled, because sometimes I see people on TikTok True. With it, like this pad, and they go like,
yeah, bow,
and that's not how it works. You know, it's just playbacking your Milli Vanilli, but people, you know, still eat it up. It's 2,000 comments.
And I think that will keep happening, but I do think subconsciously we notice real craftsmanship. Like,
yeah, but and then they sit with their laptop in this nice scenery, whatever. They don't make the fucking music right there. Wake the fuck up. They all sit in little cabins like this, smelling like sweat.
Those are my favorite TikToks. Some guy standing in the forest with his laptop. Imagine this on a festival.
Yeah.
You're standing there with
a
laptop.
I do gotta say, like Aaron Hybel, who really makes the most beautiful music, he does it too. I get it. It's part of the marketing thing. And I like, man, I'm a fanboy of his, but also, and I see him sitting like, oh, imagine this and blah, blah, blah. And but he's the real deal, because he also shows some things. I don't mind, but some people are all about the show continuously. And may, fuck it, I do it as well sometimes. Yeah.
I sometimes get clients who talk about your TikToks as an example.
Being bad or good?
Good as in they appreciate they appreciate that you are having so much that you just don't give a fuck. Like that's what they appreciate. Like you just upload it, you don't care about your accent, you just
the TikToks, you mean the talks we have.
Yeah, the talks, but also like you sometimes post those tutorial kind of things.
Yeah, but I have a hard time how to present it, man.
I think it's the part that people like is that it's so real. You know, it's like I remember Oliver Heldens doing his radio show. Then I heard him like really like, because he sometimes stutters in real life. And then I heard him like on the radio, like national radio, just stuttering and doing like funny. He talked a bit funny, but I was like, hey, this is so cool, because it's how I know him and it's how I talk to him as well. And
Heldens,
then I was like, hey,
he's one of those guys. Really cool. I really like his socials.
Yeah. I mean, he's real.
I get the feeling I get to know him.
Yeah,
I know him a little bit.
There is one word which stands out throughout this whole thing, which is authenticity.
Definitely.
That is becoming more and more important.
I do want to say, Heldens, reply to my app, man. Come on, dude.
Listen to his demo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's true. I sent him like a week ago. He hasn't responded yet.
So even big artists get like,
that's how the world works. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe just missed it, because to be honest, my WhatsApp also says bad at responding. And sometimes I'll be like, I'll respond later, and then I just forget it. Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's also up to me to remind him or send him even more shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stuff, music.
To everyone listening in on Instagram or YouTube right now, if you have a question, feel free to drop it in the chat and we'll try to pick a few from them and talk about it.
This is very random, but you guys coughed almost at the same time.
No,
and then
I was
thinking,
mimicking him.
Oh, okay. But then I was just thinking very randomly, imagine if you cough, there's like thousands of people, if not millions, that cough at the exact same time. Isn't that amazing?
That's what you think about?
Yeah, I just thought about that. I just
What's
thought about
going
that.
On
like,
inside
wow.
your mind?
Yeah. That, well,
did you know that
you
when you yawn, like, and if you then also have to yawn, it means that you like the person that yawned.
No, it shows you're not a psychopath. Actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yawn?
It shows you have like compassion or whatever. And even talking about yawning.
Jopke is a psychopath.
I'm feeling
But yeah,
it.
You
I'm
just mentioned
young.
That you think about coughing people simultaneously. Dude.
It's like an explosion. We have all that together.
Yeah. Get help.
Attacker Jopke. Yeah, let's go.
Attacker Jopke in the building.
If only we knew a good coach, huh?
Yeah, if only. Hey, we've got questions.
It's almost time. I do have the accountant sitting outside.
Is it night one?
Oh, it's the fucking...
You know he pays
per
hour,
right?
He always
comes on Wednesday. Yeah.
You know you pay him per hour, huh?
I know, but he's working, I think.
Oh, then it's fine. Okay. How do you start music? Like, will you start with chords or kicks or any other? From Visharl.
I can tell you how I started a project last Monday evening.
Yeah.
It's different every time, but this is how it can start. I heard a track by Tiesto, and I was like, hey, that kick and bass combination I really like, so I'm going to get that track into my project.
Was it Thank You?
It wasn't Thank You, no.
Which one?
But I then... the one with Rehab, the newer one.
Okay.
I don't know exactly what it's called, but then I was like, hey, I'm going to analyze that kick. I'm going to like listen to the frequencies, cut the high, see what's that kick doing, you know, how is it? And then I tried to remake that kick. Then I tried to remake that bass, and it all sounds slightly different, but still good. And then I was like, hey, then I need some kind of lead on top. Made a lead, and then I made a break. And now I'm hoping to finish the first version today. So that's how
But it's different each time, right?
It's different
each
time.
Yeah. Sometimes you just get triggered going through Splice or whatever, or you're working in a project and you do some stuff and you think, it's also a cool idea, but not for now. And it can be all this. Depends on what you're trying to make. Whenever I want to make this like ridiculous over-the-top techno stuff, I start with kick. Yeah. Because the kick has to be ridiculous. Yeah.
Another question that came in was where is it? Here it is. Basecheckers released 15 tracks last year, but if he had to guess, how many would he say he actually produced that year?
12.
Oh, he just left.
He's out. That's cheeky, Ralph. That's very cheeky.
Am I back?
Yeah, your mic
is
on
the wrong
out.
Mic.
Yeah.
Ah, but fuck.
You were going to say 10, weren't you?
No. Nothing, man. I go on holiday.
My ghost producer made it all.
I have this army sitting outside. It's not my accountant. but I think what he means, how much did you make and how much came out?
No, there's two questions. One, how much percentages of the tracks that you've made have actually been released? And the follow-up question is, how much tracks did you make? And
that's the same question.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
From the 15 release, kind of the same is there question. Like 100 you made or 80? Or...
No. I don't make that many. Most of the stuff that I make is actually to be released. I know pretty early on, like this can be something. But there's, I think, double maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that also is different when you're, I think 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I had more projects that I finished that weren't good enough to release. And now, like Ralph said, I think you hear earlier in the process, like, oh, this can become something.
Yeah. So
But it's also if you have less time and then you need some experience. Yeah, years of
you just need to do more than ever. I mean, when we started or back in 2014, if you did one track each 2 months, that was okay. But now you have to do one track a month minimal. And
you have to, but...
it just work more efficient. You have to.
Yeah.
You talk before, like, is this going to work? You don't have to.
You don't have to. But it's beneficial to your career if you do.
Yeah, definitely.
Once a month, you mean?
Yeah. Hey, you can also make nothing or make one track in 5 years. That is a big hit. But that has a little bit more of a risk to it.
Less chances, less opportunities.
Yeah.
There's also this famous... there was a university in the US, photography or something. And then a whole semester, one group of the students was given the task to make one very good photo. Focus on one photo. And then the other group was say, make as many photos as you can, deliver as many photos as you can. That's the task for that semester. And then the results in the I mean, a photo is always kind of subjective if you like it, but the results in the group that had to make a lot, like their best photos were way better than the than the people who had to make one.
Learning by doing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like molding your craft.
Yeah. My daughter always says in Dutch, van proberen kun je leren.
You can learn from
trying. You try, you learn. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well,
people always told me op een oude fiets kan je leren, maar
you can also learn on a bike. Yeah, that's true. They know tricks.
What is that then, eh?
Yeah, that is it then.
Just buy an old PC.
Are we going to talk about hardcore porn now? Because I requested that.
You requested it, yeah. Didn't came through. Sorry.
No.
Yeah. Can we do one more?
We can do one more.
Let's see. If you want to play at a festival like Creamfields, would your booking agent contact a promoter and offer your service there? Or would you like look... Or would you chase them? Like, is it your booker who contacts the events, or do you do it yourself?
Everything is possible. You can contact people yourself, your booker. You have to be a team about it, make an approach. But usually, I mean, if you're as big as Garrix or Tiesto, they will come for you. But underneath, yeah, there's just, hey, you need more push. So you ask your booker, do you know anybody there? And he says yes or no.
Yeah. It is also a free-for-all. So if you know someone that knows someone at Greenfield, just contact them, say, hey, you know, like Ralph said, everything's possible. So through agents, through yourself, through Instagram, send the organizer or someone you know works there, a DM, a respectful DM.
The smaller you are, the more push you need.
Yeah. Don't spam them, though. Don't like send a message every week, but just send a message or an email, professional, like, hey, I'm this and that.
Take the plane, go to their home.
Stalk them.
Give them a box of chocolate.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm going to change your name in my phone.
Don't stalk. That's not always...
Next time you want to call Jobke, you don't know anymore. Fuck,
what was it? There's a difference between being eager and stalking.
Eager and desperate.
To decide, but exactly. Eager and desperate. There's a big difference.
You know, I saw this on TikTok. There was this girl and there was this guy walking next to her, and he tried to get her attention, and she said to him, it's scary. But that made me think, if the guy was really handsome and she liked him, then his behavior wouldn't be being creepy. It's kind of it's slippery, you know, kind of like
it has to do with human skills, as in you have to feel if you're welcome to do it, yes or no, you know. It's a soft skill to read the room. It's a skill.
No, but the same behavior, let's say Tiesto comes to the doorstep of the promoter and gives him a box of chocolate, or me, they would interpret the same action differently, because with Tiesto, they would be, wow, are you nice.
Ralph, are you saying that there's a thin line between flirting and sexual harassment? Is that where you go with this?
No, it was sexual harassment. Is that also sexual harassment? Man, I'm such a...
No, boy. No, but like you were talking about the girl being...
my point I wanted to make is that the same behavior could be interpreted...
Yep.
Really different if the center is different, but
okay, we're gonna close it off.
I think it's a nice one to close off now.
It's smart to close off before we get cancelled in any kind of way. If you are not part of the Artist Coaching Discord yet, but you do want to, make sure that you
sign up.
The link is in the bio on the Instagram page. And it's in the description of the video on YouTube as well. We do bi-weekly Q&As there, so feel free to join.
New track out.
Shameless plug time, let's go. New
track. Yeah, listen to my new track, On My Way. It's with a vocal by James, but he's not featuring on the record. But he is still singing on the record.
Okay. That's also shitty when you have a singer that kind of breaks through at before your track is released, yep. And they don't want to feature anymore.
Kind of get.
Yeah, but I gun him. I don't know how you say that in.
I gun him too.
Very good. He has a track with Garrick.
What?
But just so you know, he's not featuring, but he is on my record.
Yeah. So
and don't forget to give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. Also, go to www.basscheckers.com and subscribe to the website. All the info is there, and you can check out new releases, live sets.
Okay. I'm going to do it right now.
And if you are an artist who wants to build his artist career, or maybe he wants to keep it sustainable, make sure to check out artistcoaching.nl. And we will be back next week with a special guest, actually, with Werner Charms. Will you be there as well, Jay, or are you gone?
I will be there.
Okay, so we have four people next week.
Four people?
Four!
Should be a lot of fun. Maybe we can do the live version that day.
Yeah, we're going to do the live.
In real life.
No. It's not
going to work. That's possible. We have to check. Okay. But we'll be back next week. Thanks to everyone.
And just
checking
for
in
everybody
on YouTube
to know,
and on Instagram.
Bye-bye. There will be a real life version soon. Record.
Yeah, there's going to be a real life version. True. Exactly.
You're invited. You can buy tickets on basscheckers.com.
Ticket sale. Bye, everyone.